Today's shiur is Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Yehuda Omer Af Beis HaKfaris, 8 lines from the bottom, where the Gemara quotes what we learned in the Mishnah. The Yehuda said that an Erev could also be put for a coin in a cemetery, Lefnei Shiyachal Lochutz, because he could get into the Beis HaKfaris. So before we begin learning the Gemara, we have to review a very fundamental machlokes rishonim in approaching this Gemara. As we've been learning, we have a machlokes in Mishnah between the Tanakam and Sumchus. If someone placed an Erev which is not edible to the person who the Erev was placed for, a truma for Yisrael, will the Erev be an acceptable Erev or not? The Tanakam said it is, Sumchus said it isn't. Then the Mishnah began to discuss that the Erev was placed in an area where the person who the Erev was placed for cannot get there. An Erev put into a Beis HaKfaris for a Kohen who's not allowed to go into a Beis HaKfaris. Is the Erev a suitable Erev or not? So the Rishayim discuss, when this thing is being discussed, that the Erev is in an area where I can't go, is this halacha only according to Simchas, whose Simchas said that I have to be able to eat the Erev that was placed for me? So too Simchas will certainly hold that I have to be able to get to my Erev. Or many Rishonim learn that even Drabonim who disagree with Simchas and hold that I don't have to be able to actually eat the Erev myself, as long as the Erev is a food that someone else can eat, it's an acceptable Erev. That is as far as the eating of the Erev. However, where the Erev is actually located, the Erev has to be in an area where I can go, and if not, it's not an acceptable Erev. For these Rishonim explain, there's a difference between suitability and accessibility. Although they don't require suitability, that I should be able to actually eat the Erev myself, they do require accessibility, that I should be able to get to the Erev, and if not, everybody will hold that the Erev is unacceptable. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, when he says in the Mishnah that even if the Erev is put in a cemetery, it's an acceptable Erev for Kohen, why? Tana explains the Gemara, Neshiyachalovkutz. He has a way of getting to the Erev, even though it's in a cemetery. Why? The Leilach B'Shei the Teva Migdal. By going into an enclosed carriage or closet, that will prevent the tumah from penetrating that box, and therefore, even though the Erev is in a cemetery, he could get to it. Why? Because Kosovo, Rabbi Yehuda holds, oil Zoruk Shmei oil. A traveling oil still has the din of an oil that it separates the person in it from the tumah outside. And really we have this machlokes previously. The Tanya, Chazal were geyser, that Eretz Amim, the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, are tamei. So a nichnas l'Eretz Amim b'shei the teva migdal. Somebody goes into one of these foreign countries in one of these types of box. Rabbi matamei, Rabbi holds his tamei because he went into Eretz Amim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda matar. The ma'akimuski. What's the machlokes? Masover, Rebbe holds oil zorak loishmei oil, so this movable oil is not going to be a partition between him and the tumah. Or Masover, oil zorak shmei oil, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda holds that it is considered a partition, and therefore it will separate him from the tumah. The Mefarshim explain that first of all, the Rishonim explain that the box that's in question has to be at least large enough to hold mem sa, 40 sa. And that is the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi, as the way the Rashi explains him, that when this oil zorik, even though it's a movable oil, is at rest, everybody will agree that it's shmei oil, that's considered a separate oil. The machlokes here is limited while it's in transit. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns just the opposite, that when the oil is in transit, everybody will agree that oil zoruk loishmei oil. The machlokes is when the oil is at rest, do I still consider it oil? Do I still not consider it oil? Or perhaps then it's considered an oil. V'hada Tanya continues the Gemara. This that we learned in a Braisa, Yehuda Omer, Ma'avin l'koin tar. We're allowed to make an erev for koin tar, but truma tamahira, and use truma tamahira bekever, even though it's put on a grave. Heichi ozel. How does the koin get to the grave? Shay the teva migdol, because we hold oil zoruk shmei oil. Ask the Gemara. Fine, we figured out a way how the koin could approach the kever. However, the kivin the achsa itmalei. As soon as the truma is put on the kever, it becomes tamei. So how could he? So and then the koin may not eat that truma, because Allah is the truma that's tamei. Nobody is allowed to eat, and nobody is allowed to buy nor from. So even if the kohen has a way of getting to the basic forest, what have I accomplished? Answers the Gemara, b'shalat hukshara, that I put down a food that was never mukshal kabel tuma. As we've learned many times, if a food is not mukshal kabel tuma, it can't become tamei. Or shnoash may peiris, even if it's a bread or a cake, that's the way Tosfos explains. If instead of using one of the zayin mashkim, fruit juice was used, that also that cake, bread, will not be susceptible to tumah. Ask the Gemara, fine. We have a way how the truma could be put on top of the kever without becoming tumah. We have a way how the coin could have gotten into the basic forest because he went in b'shed the teva migdol. But the question is, how did the coin bring the truma to himself? Once he sticks out his hand from the shed the teva migdol, he will immediately become tumah. Answers the Gemara, the Pshute creates. What he does is he doesn't stick his hand out of the Shayda Teva Migdol. He only sticks out a flat wooden utensil, which is not Makabal Tumma, the Loi Makabal Tumma. Ask the Gemara, yes, it may not be Makabal Tumma when it touches Tumma. But Tumma's oil, the fact that it's over a grave, doesn't make a difference if it's pshuta kleyates or not. Anything which is oil over a kever receives a tumas oil. Here, this piece of wood is over a kever, and since it's over a kever, it should become tumah. Says the Gemara, the ma'aseh echare. He takes it by the narrow end. That means this stick is on one side a tefach wide, but on the narrow end, it's less than a tefach wide, and the halacha is that there is no tumas oil on a receptacle that's less than a tefach wide. Ask the Gemara, ihocha my tamid rabbanon. If so, that it's talking about such a case, why do rabbanon hold that you can't make a erev for a koyin in a cemetery? So ask Rashi. We already explained. Because the Rabbanan don't hold of the heter of Sheita Teva Migdol. They don't hold of the heter of oil Zoruk Shmei oil. So what's the Gemara's question? So Rashi explains that yes, if it's in a cemetery, then the Rabbanan certainly hold that the Erev wouldn't be acceptable because oil Zoruk Loi Shmei oil. However, what's going to be the halacha if we only have one grave that's not in a cemetery? So there's no problem how the coin is going to get into that area. It's not a cemetery. The only issue is that the Erev is put on a grave, which the coin can reach. So why still do Rabbanan ask the Gemara hold that the Erev will not be acceptable? Answers the Gemara, Kusavri, the Rabbanan hold. Also, Liknois, Bayis, Bisurano. You can't be coin of Shvisa in a place from which you're not allowed to have Hanoah. And since a grave is something in Alad Avanah, as Rashi explains, it says in the Pasuk, that Thomas Shom Miriam, it speaks about the death of Miriam, and it says the word Shom, and also says in the Parsha of Egla Rufa, the word Shom. So just like an Egla Rufa is also Bahanah, so to a mess, a kever, or anything like that, is also also Bahanah. So, Ksav, also looking at Spice, Pasura No. Michlal, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda holds mutter. If we're saying that Rabbanan hold that it's Osir, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold it's mutter. Ask the Gemara again, Rabbi, if the halacha is that the reason, according to Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to make an Erev in a Beit HaKvaros is because also litnas bais b'isur hino, so if so, they ask, why did the Mishnah only speak about a Kohen and Truma? We could have even said by Yisrael the halacha should be that you're not allowed to make an Erev because Yisrael is also not allowed to have hano from isur hino. So some Rishonim answer that the Mishnah could have said that, but the Mishnah wanted to not show us how machmed the Rabbanan are, that no Erev in a basic forest will ever work. They wanted to show how makel Rabbi Yehuda is, that not only for Yisrael is an Erev in a basic forest going to work, but even for a Kohen, an Erev in a basic forest will work. So now, ask the Rishonim, if this is the situation that the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan evolves around if you're allowed to be koine bais b'surino or not, so why did the Gemara have to begin explaining Rabbi Yehuda with the issue of oil zorg shmei oil or not? Even if it's not, even it has nothing to do with it. The issue is if you're allowed to have hano or you're allowed to be koine shvisa in a place that you also be hano. So Rabbeinu Peret answers that the Mishnah could have been speaking about a case where the Erev is not actually put on top of the grave, it's put on between the graves. So the issue of Isur Heno doesn't apply, because it's not on top of a grave. What is the issue? The issue is if the Kohen could get there. So the Mefarshim explain, now we've somehow limited the Machlokes of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it will not be a basic forest, it'll be just a single grave, and the Erev will not actually be put on top of the grave, then everybody will agree that the Erev is acceptable. Because according to Rabbanan, there's a way of reaching that area. And there's also no problem that the Erev is on top of a grave. It's not actually on top of the grave, it's near the grave. There's no Isser Hano. So ask the Gemara, is Rabbi Yehuda going to hold that you're allowed to have Hano from a place that's Osb Hano? Answer the Gemara, Kesover, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mitzvah Lav Lehenes Netnu. There's no Hano involved in doing a mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, Elohadam Rava, if so, Rava makes a statement throughout Shas. Mitzvahs lav lahenis netnu, mitzvahs weren't given for hano, lemak tanoi amr l'shmaitza. The way we're learning now, Rava's din is a machlokes of Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan in the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, amlach Rava. Yisrilu the ema arvin l'dvar mitzvah, if the halach would be that you only could put an era for dvar mitzvah, the kul alma mitzvah lav lahenis netnu. Everybody agrees that mitzvahs lav lahenis netnu, there would be no problem. The Hocha, however, here the Machlokes says, Malkamifki, Ma'atsava Eim Avon Dvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're only allowed to make an Erev for Dvar Mitzvah. So therefore, you start off with Mitzvah Slav Lehenes Netnu, and you're also doing it with Dvar Mitzvah, so it's fine. Ma'atsava Ma'avon Filo Dvar Rishus. The Rabbanan holds you can even make an Erev for Dvar Rishus. And therefore, you're having a Hano from the Kever, because you put the Erev not just for Dvar Mitzvah, you put it into Dvar Rishus. So Avni Meluim asks a very strong question. He says the halacha is that if a woman has to have chalitza, the shoe that is used for the chalitza can be a shoe, the Gemara in Masechet Yevama says, that she's not allowed to have hanor from. Why? Because the chalitza is not what she has hanor from. The chalitza is a maisa chalitza. This that she'll have hanor afterwards, that she could get married, is not directly related to the shoe and to the Maisa Chalitza. Ask the Mavim Meluim the same thing by an Erev. Placing the Erev, everybody agrees this is a mitzvah. What's the best proof? You make a bracha when you put down the Erev. So that's a Dvar Mitzvah. I, that afterwards, you could have a Hano, even a Dvar Rishus Hano, that you could use this Erev to go wherever you want for whatever reason, that doesn't change the fact that what I put down was an Erev, which is a mitzvah. So why should placing an Erev be different than using a shoe that you now have an off from? So the Shaila of Tshuvas Oinig Yontif explains that there's a fundamental difference between an Erev and a Chalitza. The purpose of a Chalitza is to remove an Isser. This woman has an Isser to marry anyone else. By making a Chalitza, now that Isser has been removed. That is the Dvar Mitzvah. The fact that there is repercussions that are not Dvar Mitzvah doesn't change anything. However, says Oinig Yontif, placing an Erev doesn't take away an Isser. It just is Koine Shvisa. It means that now this is where I live, not somewhere else. That's not called, that's different than just doing a Chalitza. And if the repercussions will be repercussions or Dvar Rishus, then you are not allowed to be do it on a place that you're not allowed to have Hanor from. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef makes a statement, Eima Arvin La Dvar Mitzvah, they were only allowed to make an Erev for Dvar Mitzvah, so not a way we're learning, Leim Ketanai Amar L'Shmatzu. We're saying what he said is Machalek Sanoim. Only Rav Yehuda will hold the Eima Arvin La Dvar Mitzvah. But the way we're learning now, the Rabbanim will hold that you can make an Erev even with Dvar Rishus. Answers the Gemara, Amalcha Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answers, the Kul Alma, everybody will hold Eima Arvin La Dvar Mitzvah. An Erev could only be put down with Bar Mitzvah. And furthermore, everybody will hold Mitzvah Slav Lenis Nitnu, Yinalarav Hano from Advar Mitzvah. Marsava, Obakamaski. So what's the machlok between Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan? Marsava, Rabbi Huda holds Kim the Karnal Erev. The point of the Erev is to make the Erev work for that one moment of Ben Ashmoshes when I have to be Karnish Fisa. Afterwards, it doesn't make a difference to me the status of the Erev. At that one moment, it's a mitzvah. Because mitzvah is lav lehenis nitnu, and I'm making the Erev only Dvar Mitzvah. Or Mass of the Rabbanon hold, yes, I need that Erev for that moment of the Bein HaShemashes to be kind of Shvisa. But I also want the Erev to remain there for the rest of the Shabbos. Nichlei the Mintra, I'm pleased that it should remain there. The Itzra, because I'm going to want to have something to eat. Achalei, I could eat that Erev. There, there's no Dvar Mitzvah required. That's not a Dvar Mitzvah. The Dvar Mitzvah was already accomplished by Ben Hashmashes when I put down the Erev. So what is the point here? The point here now is just that I should have food to eat, which is not a Dvar Mitzvah. Therefore, it's awesome. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim, Shar Ephraim, the Tori Evan ask that the Rizal says that even if we say Mitzvah Slav Lehenis Nitnu, by Mitzvah the Rabbonon, we say mitzvahs lahenis nitnu. Now, what kind of mitzvah are we talking about that you could put down the Erev for? You put down an Erev, the Gemara will explain later, even according to the Omer, that you only let it put down an Erev with a mitzvah, the mitzvah doesn't have to be a mitzvah deraisa. It could be a mitzvah that you're going to a chasna, you're going to a sheva brachas, you're going to a beis oval. If we say by mitzvah drabonin mitzvah lehenis nitnu, so what's our Gemara's teretz that we're only doing the Erev for dvar mitzvah mitzvah slav lehenis nitnu, but it's a mitzvah drabonin? So two truths are given. The Masham answers that even if you'll say the mitzvah lehenis nitnu, even if you'll say the mitzvah drabonin lehenis nitnu, that's only when we're comparing it to a veru deraisa. So say the hanav a mitzvah drabonin outweighs the Avera Deraisa, will outweigh the Avera Deraisa. But here the Erev is also only a Drabonon degree requirement. So if the Erev is a Drabonon degree requirement, then outweighing it is the Mitzvah Drabonon, and in the Mitzvah Drabonon, which outweighs an Issa Drabonon, we won't say Mitzvah Lehenis Nitnu, even according to the result. Another teretz given is that going to Beis Ovel, going to Beis Mishta, although may not be mitzvahs deraisa explicitly, do have a basis in the deraisa. Why do they have a basis in the deraisa? Because it's chesed, and chesed is a chiyuv deraisa. The Taz explains, and Avi Nezer speaks about this, that even though we paskin the mitzvahs lav lehenis nitnu, there is one mitzvah which everybody who agrees is given lahanor, and that is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah goes with enjoyment. That's the Ikka Mitzvah, explains the Avni Nez of Talmud Torah. To enjoy what you learn, to liasos v'sameach u'misaneg bilimudoi. Torah goes with enjoyment. And therefore, mitzvahs lahenis, the klal of mitzvahs lav lahenis nitnu does not apply to Talmud Torah. In fact, it's based on a Rishon, Rav Rom and Ahar, that says in Masechet Nedarim, that let's say somebody made a nether, that he's not allowed to have hano for another individual. He's not allowed to use that other individual's form. Why? It's learning. He's using the Sfarim to learn. But since by Torah, mitzvah, we say lehenes netnu, the Torah is here to give us enjoyment. So if he's enjoying what he's doing, Torah is for enjoyment, he would not be allowed to use that person's Sfarim. I saw a very nice pshat from the Strikva Rebbe in this concept of mitzvah slav lehenes netnu. He explains it up in Moshel. He says, what would happen if there was a person who was a very wealthy person? He comes home for dinner and he has a table set with the finest china and the finest cutlery, the best foods, butlers and maids to give him everything he wishes. And as he's sitting at the table and enjoying this wonderful meal, a fax, an email come in, says you just won a lottery of $100 million. As great and as wonderful the meal is, it'll become totally negligible. Because he's going to be thinking and be thrilled with that wonderful prize that he just won. Says Strikva Rebbe, that's the same thing with a mitzvah. Yes, a person may enjoy, he may have anah, but a mitzvah. But since the schar that we will have in the Olam Hamas and the Olam Haba is so great, it makes the anah that we have in this world totally negligible and insignificant. Says the Mishnah, Ma'arvin b'demai. We're allowed to use demai, as we've explained. Demai is tvua that is bought from our amoritz, who we are concerned did not remove the proper truma semaisis. Or the maisrishin shenut the truma soy, the maisrishin whose truma has been removed, because the halacha is that after the levi receives the maisrishin, he has to remove from it truma semaisa 10% and give it to the kayin. Or maisrishini vehegdish sheniftu. Similarly, maisrishini or hegdish that were redeemed, the halacha is you can make an heir with it. For kahanim b'chala, and kahanim allowed to use chala that they receive for an erev. However, v'lo b'maisrishin shloin nifter trumasai, maisrishin whose truma has not been taken may not be used. V'lo b'maisrishini v'hegdish shloin niftu, and not b'maisrishini or hegdish that have not been redeemed. Now, the Rashi ben Meiri asks, why is the halacha that you can't use maisrishini or hegdish shloin niftu? Why can't you use hegdish that wasn't redeemed? Yesterday we learned that a nazir is allowed to use wine for an erev. Everybody agrees, because since potentially he could drink it, how could he potentially drink it? If you'll take when he could be shoyl on his naziris, he could have his naziris annulled. Ask the rishonim the same thing here. The hegdish could be removed; it could be redeemed, and therefore it'll be allowed to be used. So why, even though now it hasn't been redeemed, but since it has the potential of being used, why is it Osir for an Erev? So the Rashi and the Meiri explain that there's a difference between wine to a Nazir and Hegdish. Wine to a Nazir, yes, this Nazir is not allowed to eat, drink this wine, but the rest of the world is allowed to drink the wine. However, Hegdish, nobody's allowed to eat the Hegdish when it wasn't redeemed. Since no one is allowed to eat the Hegdish when it wasn't redeemed, it's Osir to be used as an Erev. Now, it's obvious that our Mishnah is going according to Sumchus. Why? Because Sumchus, the Mishnah says that Chala can be used for an Erev only for Kohanim, which is Sumchus, that says that Truma could only be used for an Erev for Kohanim, not for Yisrael. So ask the Gemara, this is what Tosfos explains, if that's the case, that our Mishnah holds that you can only use for an Erev something that you can actually eat, so how could the Mai be used for an Erev? The Mai Lamai Chazalei, we'd always allow to eat the Mai until the Trumas, the Maises are properly removed. Answers the Gemara, Migi Deboi Mafgal Enochsi, since if somebody wanted, he could renounce ownership of his property. V'av Oni, and then he's a poor person, V'chazalei, and then he's allowed to eat the Mai. Hashtanami Chazalei, that's why we say it's already considered fit to be eaten. Tan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Mechil Masanim Demai, we're allowed to give poor people Demai, Vesachsanim Demai, we're allowed to give the soldiers Demai. Amr of Hunatana, Beishamah Emechil Masanim Demai, according to Beishamah, you're not allowed to give poor people Demai, and Beisilam Mechil Masanim Demai, you are allowed to give poor people Demai. So since theoretically everybody can have it, even Sumchus will agree that it's acceptable to use for an Erev. There's Machloikus Rashi and Toysus. When we say Ichsanya, who do we mean by Ichsanya? According to Rashi, the Ichsanya the soldiers are Jewish soldiers. According to Tosfos, it's only non-Jewish soldiers. If it's non-Jewish soldiers, so what's the question that you shouldn't be allowed to give them the Mai? They're not Jewish. The answer is, since I would consider the Mai passively like Tevel, and from Tevel you're not allowed to have Anor, so maybe the Mai too you're not allowed to have Anor from, because you're giving it to the soldier to take care of your obligation to feed him. That's why the chiddush of this mission is that you may give it to soldiers to eat. Now, the Mefarshim ask, the halacha is that on Shabbos you're not allowed to do mekach hamimka. You're not allowed to do business. Says the Ritva that since you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to be mafker. You're not allowed to declare something on Shabbos ownerless. So if that's the case, they ask, how could you say that he was mafker as nechassim? He's not allowed to be mafker on Shabbos. So there are a number of terutzim given. One terutz is that when is the Erev Koina? When is the Erev effective? Bein HaShmoshes. Bein HaShmoshes, there is no Issed Rabbonin. The Issed to be Masker is only with Rabbonin. And since we want this to be Chal Bein HaShmoshes, there is no problem. That's one teretz given. Another teretz is that the Issed of Hefger is not relevant when you're doing the Lidvar Mitzvah. And here with the Erev, as we learned before, is put down Lidvar Mitzvah. So there is no Issed to make Hefger under such circumstances. Another teretz is that the only time hefker would be usur is if the hefker is that I'm giving it to another individual. So you're not allowed to do on Shabbos a ma'is kinyan of giving it to somebody else. Here, however, the point of the hefker is just that I don't want to own it. Since I don't want to own it, there is no problem. Now the Marie Chagiz asks another question. The Gemara says that a person would be mafker his nechassim. Ask the Marie Chagas, who's going to be Mafkas Nechassim? Who's going to give away everything he owns so he could have the Mai? The Gemara asked the Marie Chagas, has to give an Eitzah that makes sense. Nobody's going to be Mafkas all of his Nechassim. So he answers that since the halacha is that you could be Mafkas Beinoi Lebein Atzmai, you could be Mafkas privately with nobody knowing and nobody hearing, there is no problem of that you're not going to be mafker because you're afraid that somebody else hears that you declare all of your property ownerless and he'll come and take it. Nobody will know about it because you can be mafker beinoy lebein atzmai. Continues the Gemara. We learned that the truma was removed. Ask the Mapshita, why can't this maizrishin be used? It's perfectly fine. So we have to explain as we get into the Gemara what is the proper order. Normally, grain has to be totally processed, and after it's totally processed, you remove Maiserishin, you remove Truma, and you give it to the Kohen, then you give Maiserishin to the Levi, and then the Levi goes and gives Truma's Maiser 10% of what he received to the Kohen. That is the proper order. However, says the Gemara, what happened here was before the grain was totally processed, the Levi went and took his Maiserishin, the Nitl meant Trumas Maiser, and then he went and took off the 10% of Trumas Maiser and gave it to the Kohen. However, the Trumas Gedoyla was never removed. If Maiserishin was removed by the Levi before the Truma was totally processed, in such a situation, there is no chiv to give the regular truma from this tvua. Shnema, v'arimoysim menu trumas Hashem, ma'asim and ma'aser. Explains the Gemara, ma'asim and ma'aser matilach. The only thing the Levi has to give is the 10% trumas ma'aser. The loy truma gedayla trumas ma'aser ma'aser. He doesn't have to give both the truma gedayla and the ma'asim and ma'aser. Amler a popular buyer, ask the popular buyer, Ihochi, if so, I feel a gdimu bekrinami. Even if the Levi took the Maiserishin after the Tvu was processed, it should still be the same halacha that you should only have to give the Trumas Maiser and not the Trumas Gedoyla. Amler Shabbaya answers, Alecha Makro, in response to you, the Pasuk says, Mikol Masrei Seichem, Trumas called Trumas Hashem. All of the Trumas have to be given, both the Trumas Maisa and the Trumas and the Truma Gedoyla. Ask the Gemara, Marisa, why are you saying that one Pasuk, that the Pasuk says that you only have to give Truma Gedoyla, This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. They don't have to give Trumas Maisa. It's talking when the Levi took it before it was processed. And the pasuk that says you have to give both is speaking after it was processed. Maybe it's the other way around. But I have to give both when the Levi took it before it was processed, and I only have to give one when the Levi took it after it was processed. Answers the Gemara, Hai Itgun, this one was already processed. It's already considered grain, and that's why both Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Meiser have to be removed. V'hai lo yitkin, this one is not yet considered grain, and that's why there's only a chiv to give Trumas Meiser and not Truma Gedoyla. Ask Tosfos the obvious question. If I have two psukim, one pasuk says I have to give both, and one pasuk says I only have to give one. Ask Tosfos, it's obvious that I'm going to apply the pasuk that I have to give both to where it was already processed, and apply the pasuk that I don't have to give both to case where I took where the Levi took before was processed. What's the Gemara's, according to Rashi, explanation, have meaning the other way? So Tosfos explains that the Gemara of course understood that it's more obvious that it should have to give when it wasn't processed versus when it was processed, but that it should have to give both when it was processed versus when it wasn't processed. But the Gemara's question is, yes, when it wasn't processed, I don't have to give both. Perhaps, asked the Gemara, that same thing should apply even if it was already processed. The fact that the Levi got it before the Truma Gedoyla was removed should make it exempt from the Chiv of Truma Gedoyla. And that tells us the Gemara that there's a pasuk that says that no, that if the Levi received it after it was processed, even that there's already a Chiv to take off Truma Gedoyla. And we learned, my Tshishen v'Hegdish Niftu, you could use for the Erev. Ask the Gemara Pshita, why not? That the Karen was given and not the Chaimish. The Kamashma and the Mishnah teaching us, the extra fifth that has to be added when a person redeems his own Hegdish, his own Maisa Sheni, does not withhold it from being a qualified redemption. Now Tarsus asks that the Gemara in Masechta Bava Metzia asked this as a question, if the Chaimish is required or not to be considered to make the redemption effective. Ask Tosfos, we have a proof from our Mishnah. So Tosfos answers that if not, and there the Gemara looks for another answer. Why can't the Gemara bring a proof from our Mishnah? So Tosfos answers that if all I would have is our Mishnah, we would say that the reason the Mishnah mentioned Maisa Sheni is only because it mentions Maisa Rishon. So since it spoke of Maisa Rishon, it also mentions Maisa Sheni. But I won't necessarily know that the Chaimish is not Ma'akif. That's why the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia cannot bring a proof from our Mishnah. The Rambam, however, says that even though our Gemara says that the Chaimish is not Ma'akif, the Chaimish is not absolutely required, still says the Rambam that Midrabbanon, till the chaimish is given, till the chaimish is actually given, you're not allowed to have hanor from the Maisa Sheni with a hekdish. Avloi b'tevel, you're not allowed to use tevel for erev. Ask the Gemara Peshitta, obviously. It's the Gemara like Tzricha, b'tevel tevel medrabonim, where it's only tevel medrabonim. Kegoyim, for example, shazor b'vatsu shenanokuf, it grew in a flower pot without a hole, that the grain that grows in such a flower pot is only mechuyiv in trumas and maestris Midirabonim. The Rashba asks a gevaldig kasha. The Rashba says that something that's also to be eaten only midirabonon may be given to a child. The halacha that you're not allowed to give a child something that's also to be eaten, says the Rashba, only applies to something that's also to be eaten midiraisa. So ask the Rashba, something that's only tevel midirabonon I could give to the child. And if I could give it to a child, it should be able to be used for an Erev, as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, that the reason we can make an Erev to Chumar on Yom Kippur, even though we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, is because we could give the food to a child to eat. So ask the Rashba, the same thing here. I should say that the Erev should be an acceptable Erev, even though the Gedolim may not eat the Erev, because it's Tavim and Rabbanim, but we could give it to a cotton. And in fact, based on this, the Ritva says, from here we see, that something that's even Osim and Rabbanon may not be given to a child to eat. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't make sense. That's what Ritva says. However, the Rashba says two differences between Yom Kippur and Tevel Medrabonim. One difference, he says, is the Tevel is the Issa Cheftza. The actual item is Osir. It's like something not kosher, because the Trumas and Maisus weren't removed. Yom Kippur, there's nothing wrong with the food. The food is 100% kosher. It's 100% fine. There's the Issa Gavra that I'm not allowed to eat the food. That makes Yom Kippur and Tevel different. And another teretz that the Rashi gives is that Tevel is a very strong Isser. That Isser that you're not allowed to have Hanor from Tevel even applies that you're not allowed to have Hanor Shal Kilui. You're not allowed to use it for fuel. If you're burning the Tevel to get rid of it and you want to use it to heat your home, it's Isser. So since Tevel has this strong Isser that you're not allowed to have any Hanor from it, that's why we're more machmer by Tevel than we are regarding Yom Kippur, for example. Continues the Gemara. Not when Ma'aserishin that the truma was not removed. Ask the Gemara Pshit, of course, it's totally unacceptable to eat. Answer the Gemara like Tzricha, it's talking about Shekdim Bekri, that the Levi took the truma, took his Ma'aser when it was already processed. But not the man of Trumas Ma'aser, and he removed the Trumas Ma'aser to give to the Kayin. However, like not the man of Trumas Gedoyla, but he did not remove the Trumas Gedoyla. Matatema, we might have thought Kedamalaya Papa Baya, like a Papa said to Abaya, that even if the Levi takes the Tzvua after it's processed, the halacha should be that he's not Mechuyev to give Truma Gedoyla, he's only Mechuyev to give Trumas Ma'aser. Kamashmon Kedashanilei, that if he took it after it's processed, that he has to give both Trumas, and if the Truma Gedoyla was not removed, it would be also to be eaten. Then we learned the Levi Ma'aser Shein of Agdash Lai Niftu. If Ma'aser Shein and weren't redeemed, then it's us to be used for an Erev. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course, there are, you can't eat them. Answer the Gemara Lepsicha, Shepadav Leipadik L'chasim. They were redeemed, but not redeemed in a halachically valid manner. Ma'aser Shepadav L'chasimim, a slug was used. V'rachman Amra, V'tzarta Akas B'yotcha, you should bind the money, Kesher Shesh L'tzura, minted coins. And the Machlokes had to learn this. Everybody holds that the money that's used has to be minted. But some Rishonim say, besides the fact that it has to be minted, it also has to be money that's in currency. So let's say you have a minted coin, but it's no longer in circulation, it'll be usur. Others say, as long as it's minted, it's fine. And Hegdish Shechila Gavakarka, Hegdish that you redeemed on property, the money has to be something that can be moved, and property can't be moved. And like Tosfos explains, even though throughout Shas we have a cloud of Shava Kesef Kekesef, that's something that's equal to cash, it has the same din as cash. Here the Torah specifically tells us that you can't use property to redeem Hekdesh. The halacha is, in putting down an Erev, there are two halachas. One is that the Erev has to go with an intent. There has to be a clear intent, and according to many Rishonim and Paiskim, it's not just intent, but it has to actually be verbalized that the person wants to be kind of Shvisa where the Erev is being deposited. But the Erev does not necessarily have to be put down by the person who's going to use the Erev. He can use a Shliach to deposit the Erev. However, the halacha is that when the Shliach puts down the Erev, he has to say, I'm putting down this Erev for this person in order that he should be kind of Shvisa there, or at least that I should say, the person that the Erev is being put down for should say that the Erev that my Shliach put down should be kind of Shvisa for me. So now the Mishnah begins to discuss who can and who can't be a Shliach. Says the Mishnah, Shleichi Ruvai Biat Chereshoit V'Katan, if somebody sends his Erev through a Chereshoit V'Katan, or Biat Misha Enemad V'Erev, or through somebody who doesn't believe in the Thai concept of Erev, Akuti, as Rashi explains, ain't Erev. The Erev is not an acceptable Erev. However, but if the owner asks somebody else to take the Erev from one of these people, Harei the Erev, that it's acceptable Erev, which will explain this thing in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, is a cotton not acceptable to be a Shliach for an Erev? Vam Rav Huna, cotton goiva is an Erev, a cotton can be goiva. The Erev Chatzeres, he could be one to collect all the bread from all the members of the Chatzer to make an Erev Chatzeres. And so the Gemara like Kasha. Can be Eruv Tchumim. Our Mishnah refers to Eruv Tchumim. Can be Eruv Chatzeres. The din that Rav Huna spoke about was Eruv Chatzeres where cotton can be used. So Rashi explains, what's the difference between Eruv Chatzeres and Eruv Tchumim? So he says, the Eruv Chatzeres happen automatically. As soon as all of the breads are in one chatzar or one mavli, that accomplishes whatever has to be accomplished. So all the child is doing is he's just a collector. A child could be a collector to collect the bread from the different families. However, as we explained, Erev Tchum is not just collecting something. There's an intent involved. There's an intent to be kind of shvisa that a child can't accomplish. Specifically, as we explained, by Erev Tchumim, there has to be a verbalization that the person is being kinda shvis in this place. That a child can't accomplish. A Ruvah Chatzeris certainly doesn't require any of this kind of speech, and therefore it's not required to be done by a Gadol. A Katan would be acceptable. The Taisus explains that a Ruvah Tchumim, even if we'll hold a Rabbanon, certainly have an Asmacht in the Torah. That's why we're more machmer by Ruvit Chumim than we are by Ruvit Chatzeris. Or we learned, or biyad misha en amoyd be'erev, or somebody who doesn't believe in erev cannot be used as a shliach for erev. Man, who is such a person? Rav Chisda Kutoy, the Kutoyim who don't believe in Tarish Bapeh, the Tzdoikim who don't believe in Tarish Bapeh. There's a very interesting shaila asked by the Gaon Yaakov. He says, yesterday we learned that Hananya explained that according to Beis Shammai, an Erev requires that a person bring his entire house, Kalev, Klei Mitasai, Klei Tashmishai, he has to bring his furniture and his clothing for the Erev to be effective. So what's going to be Aloha, asked the Gaon Yaakov, if somebody from the Beis Hillel asks somebody from the Beis Shammai to take an Erev for him? Do we consider the person from Beis Shammai somebody who's Eina Moida Be'erev? And as we just learned, somebody who's Eina Moida Be'erev cannot be used as a shliach, or is he considered someone in Moida Be'erev? Says the Gaon Yaakov, it's not that Beis Shammai is not Moida Be'erev. Beis Shammai is Moida Be'erev. He just has a different interpretation or different requirement what is involved in Erev. Where according to Beis Hillel, an Erev is enough just Kadesh Dei Sudis, enough that I could something to eat, and according to him you have to put down more. But it's not that he doesn't agree with the concept of Erev. The Kuti doesn't believe in the whole concept of Erev. That's why he's not acceptable to be a shliach. But Beis Shammai certainly accepts the concept of Erev. He just says there are different requirements how to carry it out. But we ask somebody else to pick it up, how is the Erev? Ask the Gemara of Aleichus, why are we concerned? Dimalay Mamtilay. Perhaps the cotton never gave it to this person on the other side. Answered the Gemara, Kram Rav Chisda, Ba'omid Vareyu. Where I see that the cotton who's carrying it brings it to the other side. Hachanam Ba'omid Vareyu. Where I saw the cotton reaching the person on the other side. Ask the Gemara of Aleichus, Dimalay Shakamalay. But let's be concerned, perhaps, that the person on the other side didn't take the air from him. Says the Gemara, for that you don't have to be concerned. We have a chazaka that an agent does what he's supposed to do. I could assume that he did. Now the Bi'al Locha says, he asks, is it required that I actually see that the cotton put it into the shliach's hand? Or is it enough that I see that the cotton reaches the shliach, even though if I didn't actually see him put it into the hand? The Bi'al Locha says, as long as I see the cotton reach there, even if he didn't actually put it in his hand, it's enough. Ask the Gemara v'heichad itma to v'chizda v'yichil, where do we learn this concept of shliach oysa shlichusoy? Ahotma. The Tanya nosel a pill, if someone gave it to an elephant, v'alich l'koif, and then he gave it to a monkey, or to a monkey, and he carried it, and the Erev. That's not acceptable Erev. But if we ask somebody to take it from the monkey or the elephant, haray the Erev, it's acceptable. Ask the Rabbi Dimalay L'mam Tilei, why are we concerned that the Erev never reached the Shliach? I'm Rav Chisda, but I'm with Reu. I saw that it reached him. Ask the Rabbi Dimalay L'mam Tilei, but maybe he didn't take it. Of that, I'm Rabbi Chil, Chazok Shliach, I say Shliach Usay. So Tosfos points out that this concept of chazaka shliach oseh shlichusoy obviously is only by a gadol, not by a katan. But says Tosfos, there will be times that we can rely on chazaka, on this chazaka, even by cotton. He says, if there's a cotton that owns a home, and he has to do bedikas chametz, says Tosfos, I can rely on the cotton that he did it. Why? So he says, first of all, because the entire chiv of doing bedikas chametz is only midrabbanan, because midaraisa it's enough that you could just be mevatel the chametz, and since the home belongs to him, so it's his own issues involved. He's not doing it on behalf of somebody else. There, we can rely on the cotton that he did the job. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, based on this, that if a cotton, what's going to be the halacha if we ask a cotton to be toivel utensils on our behalf? Can we trust him or not? Ask Rabbi Akiva Eger, because since the halacha of toiveling glass kelim is only with Rabbanon, can we rely that the cotton did it or not? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says that the only time we could rely on a cotton is if it was the cotton's own utensils. Because just like Tosfos is speaking about when the cotton owns the house, that's when we could rely that the cotton tells us that he did bedikas chametz, that he did it, because it's his own house, here too, and it's a drabbanan. Only when the utensil will be his own can we rely on the cotton, otherwise, unless we know independently that the cotton did what he was supposed to do, we cannot rely on him.